It is time to get the view from the north. You can find all he does for Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. He's talking ball with the gang on Channel 737 on my Xfinity system. Soon they'll be talking ducks. Become a follower on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, been a couple weeks. How have you been?
Great, man. How are you?
All is well. Back from vacation, back to reality, although, you know, I get to do this for a living, so reality is defined differently. I want to start with Oregon football. Who plays quarterback? I thought you took an interesting angle. Let's call it the both sides theory. What did you mean by this competition for that position? Is either good or bad for the Ducks?
This is what happens when you're in those summer weeks before camp starts and you're sitting out in the sun too long and you start getting a little delirious and you start posting stuff. That's what you get when that happens.
That's your explanation? Sunstroke?
So, pretty much. Okay. So it's extremely convoluted. If you read it, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So they're tight. They're kind of tight-lipped about what's going on. So Helfrich insists that the competition is still open. I've heard from various people anywhere from 75 to 90% sure it's going to be Pru Cup. The experience is a big factor, and Pru Cup has played college football before. Travis Johnson has not. Neither has Terry Wilson. The idea that Terry Wilson's in the mix, to me, is preposterous. He would have to just be a complete phenom to win this job. And he was not rated as such coming out of high school. I don't know how many three-star kids have been first-year starters and been successful. I don't think it's been very many. I mean, even Marcus redshirted. Now, granted, they had Darren Thomas, but still, even Marcus redshirted. So I can't see how Terry Wilson comes close to winning this job. So let's deal, you know, in more in terms of Pru Cup and Johnson. So, you know, there's different ways this could go. If Pru Cup is the unquestioned starter behind closed doors, this is a very good thing if Travis Johnson has pushed him, but Pru Cup is just simply better. It's a bad thing if Pru Cup's the unquestioned starter because Travis Johnson and or Terry Wilson didn't come close to pushing him. And then the other part was if Travis Johnson were to beat out Pru Cup, if he beats him out because Pru Cup just is not what they thought he was at all, then that's a bad thing because then you're going to Travis Johnson by default, just basically saying, okay, we're going to go with Travis because Pru Cup's not what we thought he was going to be, and let's get Travis ready for the future. Now, if Pru Cup were to just elevate his game this summer and just be amazing and beat out a really good Pru Cup, then you could have a Marcus-type situation similar to when he beat out Brian Bennett, who showed like he could be a future star in spot time in place of Darren Thomas in 2011 before being beaten out by Marcus. And we all know that Bennett had the goods because he ended up in the Indianapolis Colts camp, and you don't go to a training camp unless you're pretty damn good.
Sure.
So that was sort of where I was going with it, because the thing is we don't know what's going on unless you get indications from some sources. We can't watch practice. It's not like back in the day when you can really watch guys light it up and look amazing. And I didn't see anything in the spring game from anyone that led me to believe, like, oh, my gosh, this guy is the next great Oregon superstar quarterback. I thought they all were very marginal. But then again, it is a spring game, so it's hard to judge because there's other things going wrong around them. But I think it's going to be very important, as it always is, what the quarterback does. I do believe they have more depth than they had last year. There's no doubt there. I do believe that Pru Cup's going to at least be good. I just don't know if any of them are going to be good enough to get the Ducks into the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, you've been talking about that as we've, like you said, try to get through the dog days, that a lot needs to fall into place if they're a contender. And I like what you and Bree Amaranthus did this week. You kind of talked about certain guys who absolutely better play well if any of this good stuff is to take place. You focused on the defensive line, Kamatule. from the obvious, they lost so much up front. Why did he kind of draw your attention as somebody who really needs to come around?
Well, they need to find some impact players. And I think in the front seven, the only guy that really is guaranteed probably to be an impact player is the guy who's already had a pretty good impact, and that's Henrik Mondu. Other than that, the rest of the front seven is a bunch of guys who had 20 tackles or less last season. So you're looking at arguably the worst group of returning front seven players in terms of previous production. I'm not knocking their talent because they all could be amazing.
Sure.
Remember, 2 years ago coming into the season, it was the worst group of returning receiver talent based on production since like the 90s, somewhere in the 90s. They had like 235 yards of returning production from the previous season, and then that receiving corps only did what? They helped Marcus win the Heisman, and they had a bunch of stars emerge. So, that could very well happen in the front seven, but if you look at the talent base of the front seven, the guy who was the most, hyped coming out of high school is Canton.
Right.
He was supposed to be the next Armstead or Buckner, and concussions limited him last year and other nagging injuries. We assume he's healthy. He said in the spring he was healthy. So if he's healthy and ready to go, he's that guy where if he comes along on the defensive line and is what he was supposed to be, well, now you got him and Mondu on the front four. The other guy like Jalen Jelks and Daniel should be fine. And Mayolatu, I always mess up his name.
I'm going to leave you with that one.
Yeah, okay, I know. I got to work on those names before the season starts. But anyway, there's some guys up there who, I think will probably be good. But Canton's supposed to be an impact guy, a devastation guy, a game plan guy where teams are supposed to be scared of him. If you have him and Mondu on the front four, then at least you're off to a good start in terms of repairing the front seven.
We're talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. At the center position, be it going back to Dan Weaver, Jordan Holmes, Unger, Grasso, when the Ducks are really good, they're really strong there. Obviously, Haggerty was a one-and-done guy. So as you look in that direction, who's the guy that seems to be emerging, but he's also kind of a unique case?
Yeah, Jason Hansen. I swear I'm like messing up names today.
That's why
anyway,
it's July.
Hansen is allegedly had a really good spring. I say allegedly because we can't watch. And so, I would always give Steve Greatwood the benefit of the doubt. If he says someone is doing well, they must be doing pretty well. Because Greatwood does not really mess around. He doesn't sugarcoat it.
Right.
He will
right.
say this guy's not getting it done. And plus other people have said that they've heard some good things about, what he's been doing or people I know who have been to practice say he looks the part. It's Jake Hansen. He also could be filling the leadership role that Grasso and Haggerty filled at the center position. But, the bottom line is we saw what happened in the Alamo Bowl. Haggerty went out, and that was a bigger deal than Vernon because if Vernon had been in with bad snaps, his life would have been miserable. He might have made more plays than Lockie, but his life would have been miserable. But if you take away the bad snaps, even Lockie is able to get a few first downs and maybe some more points so they don't even go into overtime. So when you look at that happen, you should be pretty scared of what's going to happen with center, but all signs seem to be pointing to Hansen being the guy and ready to do the job as a redshirt freshman. And if he is, that would be huge and take away a big question mark for the Ducks.
Let's get to the Blazers. I mean, you knew who wasn't coming here. Then they matched the Nets' offer for Crabb. They signed Festus Ezeli, extended McCollum, Myers Leonard signs 4 years, $41 million. When we talked about the Blazers the last few weeks, you talked about acquiring assets. You think this is just Neil O'Shea making the moves he's able to make and stabilizing or upgrading based on what's actually available?
Pretty much. I mean, if you can't sign marquee guys from other teams via free agency, then you better keep the assets you have. And if that means overpaying, then you overpay because if you let the asset get away, you're not going to be able to replace it because you're already going to be over the cap when you re-sign the guys you really, really, really want.
Right.
I mean, essentially starting, this season, Lillard's contract kicks in, and it's 35% of the cap. It could be anywhere from 25 to 30 million. And then the next season, McCollum kicks in. So, you know, realistically, they are going to be paying those two guys at least $50 million a year. And the cap at the most is projected in a couple of seasons to maybe be 104 or what have you. So there's half your cap with two guys. And so you're not going to ever, in the next few years, be able to go out and sign another player. So if you keep all your assets, the benefits are two huge things. One, you have depth and versatility to attack teams in different ways and respond to teams in different ways. And I do think they are legitimately 10 deep with Vonleh being number 11. And then whoever else makes the roster, the game night's roster as the 12th guy, that's a deep team. Harkless would be your 10th guy. He looked very good in the playoffs. That's a deep roster. I mean, you look like a team that is very versatile, can do a lot of different things. And then the number one thing I think it's going to do for them, I've said it before, I'll keep saying it until it happens, is that it puts them in a position to make a trade. And they're going to have, you know, a lot of contracts that are going to be movable. Krabs is going to be tough because he has an extra kicker in there that escalates the money if he does get traded. But you have other guys you can move down the road when someone's looking to dump a star player.
Right.
And then the next, you know, between between the trade deadline this year, next summer, the next trade deadline, and the following summer, in the next 2 years, those four moments are going to occur. There's going to be someone looking to dump somebody who would be a top three player on this team. They might even be better than Lillard or McCollum, or fit in between those two, or be right below McCollum or what have you, but be that type of guy that elevates the top end of the roster. And if you trade, let's say you trade three guys to get him, and you're 10 deep and Vonleh develops and you're 11 deep, you trade three to get one, you're still 9 deep and you're top heavy with three legit stars. And it's going to happen. I still think Kevin Love's going to be in play at some point. I don't think Cleveland – they won the championship, so they're going to go through the honeymoon phase, but he still doesn't fit. I don't believe that's going to change. I think Carmelo Anthony is going to be available. If the Chicago Knicks Bulls do not win this season, you know, if let's play, 2 years ago, the Bulls were trying to get Carmelo to come play, to team him up with Rose and Noah, and now Rose and Noah are in Chicago, but they're both questionable because of their bodies. But if that doesn't work out, if I'm New York, if that doesn't work out, I got to get rid of Carmelo. I mean, you just have to just say, you know what, we're done. We're starting over. We're going to make this team Porzingis. We're going to, you know, try and go younger. Carmelo's going to be 33. He's going to want out anyway.
Right.
And then, boom, I could definitely see a Carmelo for Crab, Myers, Leonard, and Harkless deal. Definitely. I could definitely see that. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of years, but someone's going to become available, and the Blazers will be in a position to pounce. And then the player can't, unless he has a no-trade clause or something like that, the player can't veto it.
Right.
Like, the decision's out of his hands. Portland can't get marquee guys to come when they have a decision. If they have no choice, like Scottie Pippen had no choice, he was just being traded, then you can get him that way.
All right. I got you. Good take as always. We'll catch up on baseball as we get into August. Always appreciate your time. And we'll catch up with you next week, AF. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.